Love you, Brother Frady. Thank you so much. I want to apologize to you tonight. You'll probably have to listen a little more than you normally would. I'm trying my best. I've tried to stay silent all day so that maybe there would be one message left in the vocal cords. So you pray for me tonight. I wish I could express to you how honored and humbled I've been to be able to be part of this meeting. I feel like I've met some wonderful new friends and those who are genuine in their Christianity. I like to be around real people. I don't care one thing about the showbiz side of life. I love being around real people. And I thank you for your kindness that you've shown us. Thank you again for the good music and the good songs that have turned our attentions toward God, which is what all music and song that's used around about the house of God should do. I feel like that the music here has qualified for what Fanny Crosby said years ago when she made the statement that good church music is the kind of music that a blind person could be walking down the sidewalk and recognize when they hear it that they've gone beside a church. I like that. Sadly enough to say, a blind person could walk by many so-called places of worship in our day today and have no idea they were going by a church. But I'm glad you still have that old-time conviction about your music. And it's blessed me. I thank you so much for those of you who have let me know that you're going to make it part of your life and part of your ministry to be praying for us. And we'll do our best to be remembering you in prayer. Trust that God will continue what He's already began to do in this particular meeting. And we'll be pleased at the close of the meeting with all that's been accomplished in your lives. And thank you for recognizing my birthday. I don't know how you found out. Feeling pretty bad about the whole thing, I had already said to my wife today, wonder if I should mention it again tonight. She said, please don't embarrass me like that. So I had no intention of mentioning it again. Obviously, the deed was already done. I felt a little bit a moment ago years gone by when a certain man had been invited to our church several years running, and I believe he was a good man. I love him, I can say that honestly. But he began to mention things, maybe I should put it that way, that he was always in need of when he would come around. And seemed like that after a while, the good people of our church, who I believe love God's men, they were no longer able to find any more knives or guns or money or automobile parts or whatever seemed to be the latest crises when he would come. And so I had to end up saying, I believe he's too costly for our ministry. So he hasn't been back lately. I sure hope I haven't ruined anything round about here. I didn't want to mention me having a birthday in order to get a Bible, but it is a nice one. And you didn't have to sing happy birthday, but it sounded good, and I'm grateful. And I promise you, if I get to hang around you more often, there'll be no high-level begging. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. For all of you who are Bible students, you're keenly aware of the fact that this passage is the Sermon on the Mount, the instruction directly from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should cause the spiritual antennae of all of God's people to be raised quickly when we get to this passage. In verses 1 through 4, which I will look at a little closer later in trying to lay the textual groundwork for the key verse that I want to preach from tonight. In verses 1 through 4, the Lord helps us to have a better understanding of what He expects from us concerning giving. Then verses 6 through 13 will deal primarily with prayer. My, how I need great instruction concerning prayer. I want you to notice as he enters into the latter instruction of prayer, no longer teaching us how to pray, but now giving us a model of prayer. In verse number 10, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." I'll do my best tonight to preach on the importance of the will of God in our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow humbly before Thee tonight. We have great needs. We recognize a great physical need tonight. You made this body. You created all that is. Certainly it would be no strain for Thee to touch my voice tonight and give me the strength needed for the message that You've laid on my heart for the moment. I beg for Your touch. I pray that tonight the most important touch would be realized. And I want to humble myself tonight, recognizing that unless You kindly touch me with a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God, then I stand tonight in a place where no man will be able to accomplish any good thing. But Lord, if You'd see fit tonight to touch us, then I'm sure Your good work would be accomplished. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. In trying to better understand all of this teaching, I want to read verses 1 through 4, make a quick note concerning this matter of giving. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. When the special offering time comes, when the need is in place for someone to receive a much needed offering from you, make sure that you do that thing privately before God. Otherwise, your reward is received here on earth and quickly dismissed. It would be far better to give God's way without show, without any kind of motive for prestige, so that the reward can be stored up in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Far better to receive his reward than the rewards of your peers. Verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Twice now he's mentioned these hypocrites. It's fairly obvious to me that the Lord wants me to be genuine in nature and not live a hypocrite's life. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, now verse number 6 begins to tell us how to pray. But thou, when thou prayest, that's the first thing, have a set time to pray. I would imagine most of us will pray very sparingly if we do not establish a set time to pray. So when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, have a place to pray. Not only have a time to pray, but make sure you have a place to pray. A place that's waiting on you. A place that will be a point of accountability, so that if it dawns on you that you haven't been there lately, that place has been vacant. And that should bear in your mind that you need to be back in your place. And when thou hast shut thy door, remove as best as you can disturbances from your prayer time. Be careful to try to establish a time to pray. Pray in a set place and try to make it a situation and a circumstance as best as you can. You're getting ready to go to battle with the devil when you pray. So as best as you can, find your place without many external disturbances. Shut thy door. Pray to thy Father, which is in the street, in secret. Notice here, begin to pray as a child, addressing him as Abba, Papa. Father, it's me again. Speak to him as a family member. He appreciates that. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Pray in faith, looking for the answer. Now, verse number 6 is very large in its instruction concerning prayer. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. So in verse number 6, there's an overall encompassing instruction here that we are to pray secretly. In verse number 7, we are to pray sensibly. God appreciates me talking to Him in a way that is understandable. Now, if that means that you dangle a participle when you normally talk, He would probably rather hear you dangling a participle than to try to make a mockery out of the King's English being somebody you're not. Vain repetitions. Feeling like you have to chant as though you're speaking to a man-made God named Allah. Just speak from your heart sensibly unto your God. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye. Now He has told us how to pray. We have clear instructions. Now He lays down an example for us to follow after. A manner in which we can learn from. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Much wonderful instruction is also given in the manner of the prayer. But I want to preach tonight concerning verse number 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If I'm understanding the text correctly, Jesus is here in His model prayer saying that He has a desire now that He's communicating to the Father. The desire of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who came from heaven, now to earth, now from earth back to heaven, knowing all that is to be known about heaven, knowing all of the pitfalls and the problems of earth, He says, I have a request. My desire is that the will of God that is being done right now in heaven be carried out right now in earth. Is that not what your text says? He clearly says that He wants the will of God to be that which is being done right here on earth right now, just like it's being done in heaven. So that in a perfect world, what I need to desire more than anything else is the will of God. The will of God. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, the will of God, if it is missed in your life, you will spend an eternity in hell. You will be separated from God, separated from heaven, separated from believers, and you will burn in the charred walls of hell for all eternity. Because it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you haven't come to repentance, then tonight you are not born again, and you miss the will of God on earth, thus you will never be able to enjoy heaven. If you're here tonight and you are a believer, you are born again, you know you're on your way to heaven. If you end up out of the will of God, just recall Jonah.
Yeah.
If I miss the will of God, I could end up in the same predicament as Jonah. I could know the terrors of being revealed before this wicked world. I could know what it is to have God use pagan men to check me up. What a terrible thing. I could know the terrors of having to look at men round about me and say to them, I'm the cause for all of this mess. By the way, remember that in Sodom and Gomorrah, when the judgment of God fell upon this wicked world, it did not just fall upon this wicked world because of sodomy or because of other external sins of that day. But it fell because Abraham could not find righteous people. They were not doing the will of God. Those who knew God did not live like they knew God. And I say to you tonight, for me to know and do the will of God is the most important thing that I will ever attempt to do. Young person, if you can find and know the will of God for your life, you'll be glad you're alive. You'll be able to get to be an older person like myself. You'll be glad you have lived.
Amen.
You will not die with 1,000 regrets.
Amen.
The will of God.
Yes, sir.
Nothing is going to supersede this in all of your life. It is important that you know the will of God. This seems to me so mystical that many of us take the opinion that we'll never gain it. We could never have it. We could never really know the will of God. Some, because it doesn't seem to come just like that, they refuse to spend enough time in prayer to gain it. Apparently, they do not believe it to be worth it. However, the groceries tonight are not going to be on the top shelf. We're not going to talk about the mysterious nature of the individual will of God in your life as though I can give you the key to know it tonight. But what we are going to do is we are going to look at an elementary teaching of Scripture. And I believe that if we'll gain this, maybe we could go to the next class. Maybe we could graduate a bit and know something about doing the will of God here on earth. There was a time when a man did the will of God in earth. His name was Adam. Adam fell to sin. There was another time when a man did the will of God in earth. He was the second Adam, Jesus Christ. The perfect will of God was done in earth. In every step he took, every word he uttered, every movement of his life. and he never sinned. But he left. Now, the will of God in earth is to be done through and by the Holy Ghost of God. And if I understand my Bible correctly, when I got born again, without me ever having to go to Bible college, instantly, I became the temple of the Holy Ghost. So with no violence whatsoever to the Scripture, and certainly no arrogance, because most of us are not doing a real good job at this, the will of God in earth is to be done in 2008 in and by the Holy Ghost who is in the believer. I am to be the one who is personifying the will of God on earth right now. No one else will do it. And God's not going to send angels to do it. It's important that I know and do the will of God. My life will either be pleasing to Him as I do the will of God, or my life will be a life that's wasted, as Jonas was, especially in that moment of time. Now I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation, chapter number 21. And see if this makes sense to you. The text said to us, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." The only way that I can know anything about the will of God in heaven and what's going on in heaven is through this book. I'd take no stock in dreams, no stock in visions. Everything must hinge on this blessed book. This is the inspired, which means God breathed, Word of God. By the way, nobody else really would have the authority to tell me about heaven anyway. Now, if I'm going to know how the will of God is to be carried out here, just like it's being carried out there, I better learn something about what's going on there. So look with me. Revelation 21, verse number 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Verses 1 through 4 give me some indication of the will of God right now in a place called heaven. Now, while I'm preaching right now here on earth, way out there, beyond the attempts of the Hubble telescopes, is a city. The Lord Jesus went to prepare it. There is a place called heaven. And in that place, the administration of it and the government of it is in the very center of the will of God Almighty. Now, I told you the groceries are going to be right where we can get them. You'll not need any kind of long seasons of learning for this. But in verses 1 through 4, I do not find anywhere in there where God has forumed with man and said, I'd like to know where you think we ought to put this place called heaven. God never one time came to earth, sat down with all the dignitaries of earth, sat down with all the heads of state. He did not do it democratically and take a vote on it. He did not decide to speak to Robert's rules of order. He simply said, there's where I want it. And here it is. And God Almighty placed heaven where it is. Now, everybody who has ever gone to heaven, everybody who resides in heaven, for every angel that's in heaven, all of them that are there, they are there without any kind of training as to where it should have been, and they're all happy about the place. There's not a one of them, if we were to census heaven tonight, go through and knock on all the doors of all the mansions, or all of the quarters of all the angels, or however they're housed there, I do not know. And say to them, do you like where heaven's at, or do you think it ought to be moved?
Go ahead now.
Every one of them in heaven would say in unison, we like it right where it is. God determined where it ought to be, and that pleases every one of us. So in a very simple line of thought, I'm saying to you tonight that if I'm going to do the will of God here on earth, I better learn to live where God wants me to live. I said, where God wants me to live. All across America, the almighty dollar is so important to so many people that they'll snatch up their babies out of houses of God, out of places of worship. They'll take them up out of the roots of their families. They'll run them and chase them across this country because they're after a job that's going to pay them more money. It's all about that dollar to them. They never consult God about that thing whatsoever. They don't have an idea whether or not God wants them there or not, but it must be to them in the perfect will of God because it pays more. If I'm going to do the will of God in earth, I better learn to bow and say, dear God, whether I'm rich or whether I'm broke, whether it feels good or whether it doesn't, where do you want me? Where do you want me to live in this little thing? I just have a temporary window anyway to be able to serve you and honor God. And to try to do the will of God, I need to be right where you want me to be. How many times do we let our children sit down with the guidance counselors and they say to that child, oh, I tell you, you have a wonderful mind in mechanics. I believe you can excel in mathematics. I believe you're very talented in sports. And how many times do they tell our young people, you need to be over here at this university or down there at that university, or you need to be in the military off over there somewhere and you can really advance your career. And it seems like that it's all about their career and how they can better themselves and what's good for them. And I have a little news flash tonight for all those who are born again. My life and your life is not about whether or not it's good for me. It's about whether or not it's good for Him. If I'm going to do the will of God in earth, I'm going to have to let him tell me where to be. I need to teach my children to bow down humbly before God and say, Lord, I'd rather have you. I'd rather live where you want me to live. I'd rather minister where you want me to minister. I'd rather be a part of what church you want me to be a part of than to be out there making $1 million, or to be over there climbing a corporate ladder, or to be out there making a prominent name for myself. I want to be in the will of God. In heaven right now, everybody is living right where God wants them to live. I never would have chosen a little place called Conestee or even Cottonseed. That wouldn't have been my choice. I remember when they said they needed a pastor down there at the First Baptist Church of Conestee. I had just finished Bible college and I said, where's Conestee? It was so small, I'd been living in the Greenville area for 4 years and didn't have a clue where it was. One old gentleman in the church where I was a member of, he popped up and said, just follow your nose. Well, I had no clue what that meant. But the Greenville wastewater system sits on the Reedy River, which flows through the heart of Conestee, downstream and downwind. And Conestee had had the mill go out in the 60s. Poor, set back, repressed. People who didn't have enough confidence in themselves to even go out of town and get a job, even though out of town was just 2 miles down the road to Greenville. I don't believe I'd have chosen that. I don't believe I would have thought, if I'd been thinking about a career, I don't believe I'd have said, boy, this is a wonderful place to rear your children. They told me when I went down there that if you're accepted, all right. If you're not, make sure you lock your doors good and bar your windows at night. I don't think I would have chosen that. But I'm going to tell you what's the truth tonight. I'm one of the happiest, most fulfilled men that's ever lived on planet Earth. Because it wasn't a matter of where I wanted to live, what I wanted. It's what do you want, dear God? And young person, the best thing you can do is say, dear God, in an humble fashion, dear God, I want to thank you for every talent you've ever given me. Thank you for every bit of sense, every intellectual advantage. Thank you for all of your kindnesses. Thank you for the advancements you've blessed me with. But Lord, all of that should be just for your honor and your glory. I don't have to make money. I don't have to have prestige. I don't have to have fame. I don't have to have prominence. I want to be where you want me to be in this life while I'm living, so that I can do the will of God in earth as it's being done in heaven. Second, look at verse number 1 again. And I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. The Bible says twice, I saw. Now everybody in heaven right now, while I'm preaching here on earth, everybody in heaven, as their eyes open, they see exactly what God Almighty wants them to see. There isn't one thing seen in heaven that hasn't already gone through the throne room of God and is right in the perfect will of God Almighty for our consumption. You can look on it all. You can see it all. And every bit of it is in the center of the will of God. You wouldn't imagine there would be anything filthy in heaven, would you? Why, no. There are no penthouse magazines in heaven. No Playboys in heaven. No Hollywood soap operas in heaven. Not one television in heaven playing a filthy, wretched soap opera. You can't see it in heaven. Nobody running around half naked. It's just not there. In heaven, everything they see is in the perfect will of God. And I believe God's saying to me, His desire for me is for me to be different and out of step instead of being in lockstep. I'm to be out of step with this world. He says, if you want to do the will of God in earth the way it's being done in heaven right now, you make sure that God determines what you see, Tony. Still be enough of a man to turn your head. Be laughed at if they want to laugh at you. Scorned and talked about. But be the kind of Christian here on earth that'll say, God wouldn't want me to look at that. And turn your head. She may even be dressed, but if she's got the fluttering eye of a Delilah, God wants me to turn my head. Find something else to look at. God doesn't want me slipping around looking at porno. God doesn't want my eyes to be feasting on things of this world that are not in the will of God. If I'm going to represent God Almighty here on earth, doing the will of God in earth the way it's being done in heaven right now, I'm going to let him dictate what I see. Now I know that heaven is a protected place and earth is not. I know that heaven is a perfect place and earth is not. I know that heaven is a regulated place and earth is not. But I need to be the kind of person who is endeavoring to do the will of God in earth as is being done in heaven and live my life here with some blinders on. So I can stay in the road. I don't need the distractions. I knew this would be good. I knew you'd enjoy it. The will of God in earth is that I make sure as best as I can that God determines what I see. God tells me what's good for eye consumption. That God lets me know what's legal, right, good, honorable for me to look upon. It doesn't always have to be flesh. I probably shouldn't be looking at too much of this world and all of its money. All of its materialism. Wonder how much God's pleased with me when all I can think about for an entire week is another new automobile. Because all I can do is look at them. Or another suit of clothes. Because I'm so vain, I want to look like GQ preacher. Because I'm looking at it, looking at it, looking at it, looking at it, looking at it. And we live in a world where they have learned that they can spend billions of dollars on advertising because they can get to the eye gate. And they have turned us into a materialistic society. And instead of me being the kind of person that wants to give myself away to the cause of Christ and give myself away to the furtherance of the gospel, I become greedy and greedy and greedy because I'm not looking at the things that are in the will of God. Just took your first church, didn't you? And been there about 3 weeks. And right out of school. And got over there today and said, God kind of got all over you a little bit. I'd say you're just roaming around on those grounds there and in through that church, just like all of us preachers have from time to time, beginning to look and see on the things of God. If I'm going to do the will of God here on earth the way it's being done in heaven, I better start looking at the things of God more. Third, verse number 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven. In heaven, everybody that's there, they are living where God wants them to live. Everybody that's there, they're seeing what God wants them to see. And everybody there is hearing what God wants them to hear. You will never pull up to an intersection in heaven and have that thumpity thump going on beside you, blowing the windows out of your vehicle, giving you a nervous breakdown waiting for the light to change. You will never be exposed to filthy rap, rock lyrics that are vulgar and ungodly and anti-God. It's not in heaven. Everything that's heard in heaven is in the perfect will of God. And you know that there's nobody there doing a cowboy Christian jingle. I mean, there's none of that really going on over there. Glory to God, Mama got to heaven on a railroad car. That long black train. And you know, now honest, you think about it. You can't even imagine this in heaven. They're not over there in heaven with any kind of Christian rock going on.
Go ahead now.
There are no groups performing in heaven tonight while I'm preaching that look like Kiss and sound like the world and pitch in the name Jesus every now and then. You know that's true. It is not going on in heaven. Nobody hears that over there. The Bible does give us some indication of those cherubims and seraphims. And you hear a lot of praise going on. The Bible does give us an indication of some of that heavenly music that's much like the old hymns of the faith that would break into something like the Hallelujah chorus. Woo! That's what they're hearing in heaven. Everything they're hearing in heaven came out of God's orchestra room. There's no world about it. Now, if I'm going to do the will of God in earth, like it's being done right now in heaven, I'm just going to have to make sure that I'm listening to the right stuff. And that I'm not carving my own way so that I can somehow garner in all of those who think we're a little bit out of step. I was saved in an era as a 14-year-old mixed-up renegade teenager when the men of God still had enough integrity to look me in the eye and kind of straighten me out a little bit.
Sure.
I had some problems. And a lot of my problems was because of what I listened to.
Yeah.
Now, when I first got saved, if they had let me, I would have become their new youth choir leader. And we would have sang a little Bridge Over Troubled Water. We'd have brought in a little Creedence Clearwater Revival. Little bit of James Taylor style Christian music. Pitching in the name of God every now and then. But my preacher told me. He said, you're new in this thing. I've been here a while. Instead of me following you, you follow me. All I knew to do was say, yes, sir. I found out he was right. In heaven, right now, they're hearing only the things that are in the will of God. And it's not just in the music. There are no connections in heaven to CNN headline news. It doesn't matter. No MSNBC feed. Not even Fox News is over there. There are no filthy, arrogant talk shows. There is no Dr. Phil in heaven. We have become a generation of Christians that glutton ourselves with information. Listening to more of the things of the world than to the things of God. And thus we've become discouraged, defeated, diseased, with all kinds of depression, because the world is a basket of mess. But if I listen more to this, if I listen more to the will of God, I'm telling you, it sure does help the Christian. And I believe it must help the world round about me. Because Jesus said, I want you to be doing the will of God in earth. Like's going on in heaven right now. And right now they're listening to godly things. Buddy, I need to tune in more to this. I don't guess I have to be a total buffoon. I guess I can catch up on things like the tornadoes coming through and have my heart broken over four little old Boy Scouts. I guess I can receive all of that so I can pray about it. But I don't much need their editorials. To be honest with you, I have a little sense myself. I believe I know how to think on an issue. They don't have to tell me. In fact, I'd rather filter it through this blessed book. So in heaven, they are doing the perfect will of God by hearing exactly what God wants them to hear. I need to be doing more of that here on earth. Fourthly and lastly, look at your text again. Verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In heaven, they're living right where God told them to live. They're seeing what God wants them to see. They're hearing what God wants them to hear. And in heaven, they're living the way God wants them to live. They're living in victory. No more death. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more heartache. In other words, glory to God, they're living above the sorrows. They're living above the heartache. Above the pain. Above the terrors. You know what? Truth is, I have that privilege too. And that's what Jesus is telling me he wants me to do. Live here on earth with victory instead of despair. I would assume tonight that the reason the Church of the Living God may be as anemic as she in this particular age is because there aren't many people in the world that would want a whole lot of what the church has. Because if I am always just right with them, grumbling about all the politics, murmuring about all the gasoline prices, getting down in the mouth about everything coming and going, if I'm listening to the things they listen to, if I'm in the same cesspool as they are, why in the world do they need what I have? They already have that. They have to go get drunk to get rid of it. Jesus said, I want you living right now here on earth the way they're living in heaven, and in heaven they're living a victorious life. Amen. And I know, Christian, I know I'm preaching something right here that's really easy to preach and very difficult to live. And I wish I could say to you that every day of my life I live it in victory. I wish I were. I desire it. I want it. I have not lived it every day of my life. But it does not change the Bible truth that God Almighty is bigger than any problem in this world. He's bigger than all the politics. He's bigger than all the economic crises. He's bigger than all the troubles of this land. He's bigger than the troubles of this world. My God's still on the throne, and I have the privilege to live in victory. And if I will, it'll show this world the will of God here on earth right now. They need to know. My children need to know. My grandbabies need to know that there's a God in heaven bigger than all the troubles of this world. They need to be able to see a grandpa and a daddy and a husband who knows that at the end of the day, glory to God, we're soaring upward. It's bigger. He's bigger. He's bigger than all of the troubles. And that somehow he'll make a way.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
God wants me to live my life trusting him and living in victory. In this lost and dying world. Now tonight, are you living in the will of God? Are you living where God wants you to be? Or is there a Jonah somewhere in here? Tonight, young people, especially, listen to me close. Are you seeing what God wants you to see? Mama, daddy, grandparents, I found out we don't get so old to where this is not a problem. Are you hearing what God wants you to hear? Is all the news of this world processed and filtered through the blessedness of this book when it all comes down at the end of the day? And tonight, are you living in victory? Are you able to say, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. But I do know he's going to do it. He's bigger than all of this. Mom and daddy, are you able to bow down to those babies in that living room? And it seems like you don't know how the next bill is going to be paid, or how you're going to feed them, or how you're going to send them to school next term, or how you're going to put clothes on them. Are you able to bow down in that living room and let them hear you crying to God and say to God, dear Lord, I trust you. Somehow I believe you're going to come through for me and my little family. Are you able to hug those babies' necks and say to them with an assurity looking in their eyes, son, daughter, life's not easy and life's full of problems, but there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven, and we're going to trust him. We're going to trust him. Old brother Billy Kelly used to say, he said, if I starve to death trusting God, pour me full of baking soda. Yeah. So I'll swell up. Yeah. And they'll think I died of gluttony. I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe I'm going to die of hunger.
Trust in God Almighty.
Amen.
I believe we can live above it.
Yeah, sure.
I believe there's a place. I wish I were in it every day. I have the privilege of being it every day. I want to desire to be in it more. There's a place where we can rise above all the fray of this world. And Jesus said, Father, thy will be done in earth through you, through me, as it is right now in heaven. I'm through preaching. Please stand. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Musicians are coming. And I would imagine tonight many of us are going to find a place to bow and say, Dear God, most important thing in my life, without a doubt, is that I be in, know, and do the will of God. Please, dear God, please help me to be in the center of thy will. There ought to be many young people tonight bowing, making some commitments before God Almighty. There ought to be moms and dads who are bowing and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. I haven't lived in victory, and I have the privilege to. I haven't guarded what comes to my eyes as much as I should, and I haven't seen the things you want me to see only. I haven't heard the things you want me to hear. That's right. I'd imagine a lot of us are going to need to bow tonight. Many of us. It's so important that you know and do the will of God. There is no fulfilled life for you outside of the will of God. Dear God in heaven, I'm begging now. I'm bowing humbly before thee. The preacher's done all he's able to do. Lord, I'm glad that it's completely out of my hands anyway. I pray you'd search us thoroughly tonight. Lord, that you'd help me. God in heaven, help me to not preach that which I will not endeavor to live. Please, dear God, I pray that you'd help me to live out the will of God in earth as is being done in heaven right now. Please, dear God. Oh, God, help me to be where you want me to be, wherever that's at in this life. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to have constraints upon my eyes and upon my ears. Help everything to be filtered through the Word of God, the beauties of heaven, the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear God, I beg of you that you'd help me to live in a measure of victory so that those round about me will be able to see a life that has genuine victory over this world that's so depressing. Grant it, dear God. Please grant it, Lord, and help many others tonight in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. Play for us if you would, please. Play for us if you would. There's nobody singing tonight. There's just music, but that's fine. There's a moment for you now. Do you need to join these who are here praying? I don't know why we'd hesitate tonight, to be honest with you. The will of God. The will of God. That's right. That's right. That's right. Come to the feet of Jesus quickly tonight. Some may have to say, I'm sorry, but we've all been there. Maybe you need to come to that place of repentance tonight. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Christian, are you endeavoring to do the will of God in earth as is being done in heaven right now? That's right. That's right. There's time for you to pray. There's place for you to pray. There's help. There's help. While many are still praying, there's time for you. Hesitate no longer. Get quickly to a place before God.
If you're here tonight and you're lost, it's God's will that you be saved. you miss God's will, if you're a sinner and you miss God's will, you remember what the preacher said, you'd spend eternity in hell, and that's right. If you're saved and you miss God's will, my, what blessings you miss. What rewards you will miss. What victories you'll miss. Does anybody need to come tonight and say, God, I want to be in your will. Would you help me, God, to get in your will and be in your will? Stay in your will. Does anybody else need to move? Anybody else need to come?